Is that the second recorder also?
Yes, please. Good. I'm not sure. What's the next topic again?
Introduction to the Book of Yeshayahu.
Okay, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, Introduction to the Book of Yeshayahu.
Poet Parshan. Poet Parshan.
Poet Parshan.
Or Prophet.
Or Prophet.
I thought the machine said,
you said Yeshayahu. This was Yeshayahu, though. Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu.
Yeah.
We'll take a vote.
Yeah,
we did Yirmiyahu. We did most of Yechezkel, and it's time for Yeshayahu. Yeah.
That's the
flyer
set.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeshayahu was the book that the logic was: you finish Melachim, then you do Yirmiyahu. When you finish Melachim, then you do Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel go hand in hand. That was the whole share, and then you go back and do all the ones you don't understand. Yeah. So what I want to do first, the goal of the share, since it's a different format this week, even Mark's not there, so I can't do the regular share, and no one's there to catch me if I repeat something. I think it's a smaller group, and they're kind of theme for everybody. What I want to do this week is teach you a skill about how to study a book. Well, the main goal of the share today is a skill, how to study a book as a book. Not to receive, and we left out because the copy machine. Now, I have some other shortcuts, but the copy machine that has all the answers, with the sheet, I'll bring you this session next week. Because when you give a student an outline, you take away something from them. It's the discovery process that makes learning with retention. So what I want to do is I want to give you an approach to how to study a book. The goal will be to study Shayel. But for the warm-up lesson, we'll give a little bonus, because it's a different type of group this week. I want to take an example of studying a book that you're all familiar with, but I'm almost sure you never did this before. Did anyone ever study the Book of Tehillim? People read Tehillim, love Tehillim, you know Tehillim, but did anyone ever study the book as a book? Probably never. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take 5 minutes. We're going to go on a little journey. And because in Tehillim, what we're doing is very easy, and then we have to apply it to the Book of Yeshayahu. This is what I want you to do. Look in the Book of Tehillim. Everyone has a Koran, I hope?
Yeah. You need a corner for this one, or a border, it's even better.
That's too small. Take a look. Yeah, right? Take a look in the book. Skip the first two chapters. That's why we're skipping the first two in the beginning. Starting from Zerah Gimel. Scan the chapters. I want to teach you how to scan the unit. Just look at the opening line of every capital. Take a look, and tell me if you find something that's common to every introduction. It's starting in Perek Gimel. What's common to all the introductions? Don't answer. Raise your hand when you find a pattern. This is like a real easy assignment. So scan the first 5, 10, 15 chapters and see if there's something common to the first topic of each one. Be precise. You need to check a couple to make sure you have it right.
Okay.
Anyone wanna? Yeah. What'd you find? No. Tell me what's common. What's common to almost all the headers in the first 5, 10, 15 chapters? Is everyone says on the fair?
No.
But what? But every single opening line is with David. Agreed? No. The first two stand alone. They form their own little introductory unit. But starting from Zerah Gimel, take a look how every single opening line has with David. Okay, now does that stop the unit, or is that a small exception? Okay, keep going from Zerah Gimel. Sometimes when you do this, sometimes you have boulders, sometimes you have pebbles. Now, Perek Yud not having the David is a pebble, not a boulder. You understand me now again, huh? Why? Because starting from Zerah Gimel, you have lots more of the David. Now, scan on and try to find out where this pattern ends, and a lot of these questions you're familiar with, and try to get a feel for the overall topic of these. Where do these headers, that every header has with David in it, okay? And see, is the header always changing? It always has with David. But is it usually on the staff? Is it usually more? Or is it just jumping around? Does every header have a different word in it, or the units there? You understand? You understand what I'm getting at? These are things you have to pay attention to. We're not dealing with the talking of the parking yet. We're just talking about the structure of the book. Lama Gimel was an exception. It makes it to Shabbos morning, isn't it?
Right.
Lama Gimel is an important tariq, but Tzadikim is. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think so. They should be happy. If you figure that out, you're a. Now, again, why that's an exception? Do you agree it's a pebble, not a boulder? Because you go back to David? Yeah. It's a membe. Agreed? Mm-hmm. And since by chance, what do all the books show as membe? No, but what happened? That's what I say for saying. You follow?
Yeah.
Everyone's heard of 5 books of TV.
Yeah.
But did you realize the reason for the first book? Isn't it obvious staring at you? The first book of Mizmer David. At least without a doubt. Nice and simple. Now, are all the other than David, are there a lot of Mizmer David, or they mostly change around the title? Are they mostly the same? Is there a lot of variety? Yeah. Now, what those words are, give me some examples of words that you have there. There's Lamnatsea, what else is there? There's Mistam, Mismor, yeah? There's Lodavi, right? Lamnatsea, Shigayot, there's tons of them. And a lot of people hold that there's different musical instruments. Sometimes say there's a certain, maybe there's a certain musical thing. Again, that's for the study in detail, Stevie. So the point of what I want to get across in our share is how to study a book. There's no doubt a unit. From the beginning, the Membet, which is commonly to all Mizmer David. And if you know the content, are these more Tefillah or Tehillah? You realize that the Tefillin has two types of topics. There's Tefillah and Tehillah. That goes back to Sefer Bereshit, when Avram's Korei B'Shem Hashem, which is what he does for a living. There's a big argument. Is he calling to God or about God? Calling to God is Tefillah. Calling about God is Tehillah. Calling to God is vertical. Calling about God is horizontal. Now, you know what the answer is. What was Avram doing? Both. And what's Judaism? Not one or the other. Usually you find one or the other, but Judaism is always both. Our davening, Sukkot Zimri, Tehillah, Shmoneh Esrei, Tefillah, Takum Tefillah, you follow? But this opening unit, if you take a look at it, it's primarily Tefillah. I wouldn't say exclusively, but primarily Tefillah. Now, if you have time, we talk about why those exceptions, but you realize that those are exceptions of pebbles. Because sometimes they're really a long parak. What would you do if you find an exception like that? How would you deal with that? Let's say you find two parakeim that don't have this header. How would you deal with that exception? Before you look in the parshanim. What would you want to do? You take a look at is it intricately connected to the previous parak, or does it form an introduction to the next one? You follow? Maybe yes, maybe no, but that's the methodology. That's what I want to train you in how to do. Now that you did the first book, try to see the pattern in the next section.
Can you say that pattern again?
What?
About the connection right now?
No. If I find a sidra.
Is that the word sidra means?
A series. If I find a series of these right series, and almost everyone, 42, and the vast majority has in them the David and the header, and there's two blanks, there's two Mizmorim, they don't have David in the header, but they have any name in the header. So they form an exception. If I want to understand why they're an exception, so the most logical thing to do would be to look at the parak that precede them, and it could be the reason there's no header because two parakim might really be together. That could be one thing. Or maybe that one forms the introduction to another set. So then you have to read both of them and see, is there any linguistic connection? Is there any thematic connection? And just one lead to the other. Okay, we're not doing that because we're not saying, we're only using Tehillim to understand Yishayel today. And to take advantage of our storm setting, it's a different type of shear setting, to take advantage of a smaller class to be able to study methodology of how to study a book. Now, take a look down in Sefer Sheni. What do we find? What's coming out in the beginning? That you can't miss it now. The Bnei Korah. Remember, didn't they die? Oh, how do you know that? It's a prophet. It's a Pinchas. It should be in Pinchas when they do the Mishkad. Yeah, when Nikolach will make them. In the Mishkad of, actually, we can't move in. Because when Shabbat Satan Babylon, they say, you know, what happened to Korach, when Nikolach will make them. And that part was written for the Drash. You understand? Anyone who's been in a shul or involved, right, Bernie? When Nikolach will make them? You know, everyone who runs a shul knows that. You know, this is not a joke. It's a joke again. There's always people starting the chorus and wanting to, you know, cause trouble. You know, B'nai Korach Lomaitu is like the best, probably the greatest truism that is in Chumash. Now, so we have a lot of B'nai Korach, up until where? You should know, B'nai Korach were a group of Levim from the time of Levim. It's not a later time period. When David commissioned Sefer Tehillim, B'nai Korach is one of the groups. You hear about them in Divrei Hayamim. Now, how many Prakim are B'nai Korach? Can we read that for? When do we have something? When do we read Moshe Shanu for Tzkiyot? Yeah, that's fine time. If you remember that, then you can count. Yeah. To where? To Memtet. And what changes in Memtet? Asaf. Now Asaf, as a colleague, Asaf, we must have been that short way back, but Asaf was appointed by David HaMelech to be the chief conductor and composer of the choir when he brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. You want details? Divrei Aleph Perek Zayin. Again, I don't want to do it now because then the whole show is empty, right? But there it says, Mufrash, that David appointed Asaf to be the head of the Levim when he brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. And that's why there's so many reasons why. Here's the only one. We get to Asaf, and then who do we switch to now? There's David. Now, and every header is something different now. Maskil, Machalat. Actually, they're all Maskil of David, but there was a different instrument. You follow? There's a lot of Maskil of David, but each one was a different instrument. And then, starting from Chazal, from Nunzal, you have a lot of Mikhtam of David, don't you? They're all the Davids. Look for Nunzal, how many Mikhtam of David you have. Like Nunzayin, Nunchet. You can't miss that unit, right? There's a whole unit of Mikhtam of David. Takes it to where? It's Tamach. And then there's more David from Tamach Aleph, right? No. But notice there's a new unit of David again. So we had Mizmor B'nai Korach. But we had a whole book in the first 42 Prakim of David. We switched to B'nai Korach, a whole unit of B'nai Korach, ending with Asaf, one third of Asaf. And then we go back to David, mostly Mikhtam, but a whole variety. Where does that go to? If you like. Want to take a wild guess? So end of what? End of Sefer Sheni. End of Sefer Sheni. That is very important. Ayin Bet will take us right to Yishayahu. Ayin Bet is an exception or not? No, wait, what? Why is Ayin Bet an exception and why isn't it an exception? Why does it look like an exception? Because it says Rishlomo. The other was the David, but there is more than David. Now, Lishlomo is not written by Shlomo, but when you read it, it's for Shlomo. This is not a mizmor written by Shlomo. When you read the content, it's written for Shlomo by who? By his father. You can tell when you read the content, you know it's written. You can't miss when you read the content. This was written by David HaMelech for his son Shlomo, because it talks about the visit of Machashva, it alludes to. Put it this way, the visit of Machashva and Sefer Malachim is built on this parak. You can't miss it. Pasuk Yud. Okay, we'll get to it when we get to Yishayahu very soon. Now, what's the giveaway that this is the end of the unit? Look at the last line of Ayin Bet. And read it properly. Kalu, not Kalu, Kalu, Tfilot, David ben Ishak. Understand? So that's not part of the Mizmor. That's a tack-on. You understand? That pasuk is not part of Mizmor Ayin Bet. That's a tack-on. That ends the book. Now, look at the pasuk that precedes it. Rukshem for the Olam and Melech HaGadol. I mean, that looks familiar. Look at the pasuk you set in the Ayin Bet. How do they look so familiar? Doesn't it look familiar? How can we know them by heart? But we're speaking to people, we say them. After, right before Vagat Davi, that's not true. It's right after Konsumat and Hallelujah. If you know the history of the Siddur, it's not right before Vagat Davi, it's right after Konsumat and Hallelujah. You want to know why? Cause look at the last line of the first book. Go back to Membet. I mean, to Memalas. Who said Membet? To Memalas is the first book. See the last line of Memalas? Got a little header there? And pay attention, we're going to find it over and over again. That the psukim that end each book of Tehillim are going to be the psukim that we mumble at the end of Kosh Matavi. You know why? Because in the second Shabbat, pretty sure it's Kufiyot Tet, it says that halavai that a person should finish all Tehillim every day. That's how we get to Tehillim every day. So it flows to my task for people. So what we said, we did the last six. And it's Tehillim, we did the whole book. So we like cheat. We do like we do with you. Don't we do the same thing? This is the last parak, and I hope people really believe you did the whole thing. Think about mitzvah and steel, and everyone's impressed. Now, so what do? Instead of doing the whole book, what do? We read the last line of each book. We do the same thing on Yom Tov when we make Kiddush, don't we? Remember? That's the last line of Vayikra Chav Gimel, which is as though you said, all Vayikra Chav Gimel. Now we have times Vayikra Chav Gimel, but there's an Indian and day for Kiddush, it has to be short. You know, some misnagdim can't believe such a thing, and they got to add more psukim. You know, a real halachist will say, okay, and that's enough. No, I'm sure Terry might do that. never heard of some, I'm assuming, just like that. I'm sure he'd be a part of that. Look at book 3. What's the topic now of book 3? I mean, what's the header for book 3? Asaf. See, I'm giving him his Asaf. How many Turkey Asaf are there? Ooh. He's a composer, isn't he? Mm-hmm. By you understand why when Chazal attributes the book of Tehillim to David, how did he get away with that? If there's Asaf? Mm-hmm. Because Asaf was appointed by David, commissioned by David, to be the conductor of the choir. So David gets credit for the whole book. That goes to where? Mitzmur Asaf goes to where? Till Peidalet, right? And then Peidalet, we go back to Korach. Pedalad and Tehir Korach. And then we get interesting, another temple, Tfilat David. There's why we have Tfilat David, and we go back to B'nai Korach again. And more B'nai Korach. Understand? Tehet ends B'nai Korach. And who do we get in Tehet? Okay. Another composer. And that's going to end. That's going to end Tehet, right? No. Look at the last line of Peitet. Look familiar again? Isn't that... Is that again one of those before Baruch Tavis? I'm kidding. The one after Kol Shema? Mm-hmm. You understand where it's from? Yeah, people realize that. Did anyone realize that? Isn't it obvious that's the reason why you're doing it? But we never study... It's taken us how long? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? We have half the books done already. It doesn't take that long. It doesn't get much intelligence. It's just... Take 10 minutes and just study a book. And it's a skill, it's not that hard to do. But we never even think of doing it. And then you appreciate so many things that are in our development. Now, here's a fun one. Okay. What happens in Sadi? What's special about this one? This is super unique, right? This isn't David. Who's this? Okay. Now, is this written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Or about Moshe Rabbeinu? Or for Moshe Rabbeinu, fellow? So an argument. There's who made up the center of Tfilah of Moshe. But the simple shot is Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, when do we say this in our document? We don't say this every day, do we? When do we do it? Why do we do this on Shabbos? Do we do the next one on Shabbos also? Your Shabbos says Eliyahu? Sure we do. You know why? Because look at the next one. Okay. Yeah. Why do we do Sari Alf and Sari Bet? Because look at Sari Gimel. I mean, look at Sari Bet. What's Sari Bet? Mizmor Shir, Vema Shamat. Tov Lo Dov Hashem, Azamer Shem Chalion. And the reason why we read Sadi and Sadi Aleph, because it's introductory to Sadi Bet. Sadi Bet, we have to read Shabbos morning. I don't have to explain why, right? That's Nikvah Shalom Shabbat. What do you read Shabbat morning? So when I add Tehillim, Shabbat morning, remember I make 50 Zimmer videos if I have more time, or longer, more reason to come late to Shul. So then I have a... So that's Nikvah Shalom Shabbat. Now, what? That the order has its own dynamic because it's sort of we save Mishmosh to the end. But that's how we end the Adam. Because that goes with Hashem Allah, and that takes us right. Then we go back to when we finish that. Then we get to Yichavod. I'm pretty sure, don't we? That's sort of the ending part. Now, then we have the Mishmosh for Wednesday, which. Here. But again, it's without a header. And then starting Tadi Dalit, from Tadi Hey, you know by heart. What do we call Tadi Hey to Amos Bekuf, to Tadi Tet? That's better known as? Okay. And who wrote these? The Shlomo Kabach. It's so obvious they don't need to put a header. But Lord, what's missing? Again, what's missing since Tfilah Moshe? What don't we have here? Unlike everything you know now, we don't have a kuteret. It's a big of any korachas of anybody. Now, what would be a logical conclusion? Maybe the whole unit is what? Maybe don't do the Moshe. Now, why do we do the Churanana on Shabbat? For Kabbalah Shabbat? Why those plugins? How they connect to Shabbat? Because what introduces them? That is it. Now, why we don't read... Is that the case? Should we read also Tadi Dalit? Shouldn't we? Tadi Dalit. Amakamot Hashem. Yeah. Why don't we do that on Shabbat? It doesn't. It's end up our Ben Shanakut the door. No. That we squeeze in and pretend we don't understand it. But Tadi Dalit, that's too much. No, I can't do that on Shabbat. But all the other ones are beautiful for Shabbat. And that takes us to the way, if you know, Eilat Mizrach, how we should finish Kabbalat Shabbat with Kuf. Kuf is really the end of Kabbalat Shabbat. If you go to Eilat Mizrach Shul, or Sardi Shul, the last parak of Kabbalat Shabbat by them is Mizmor L'Toda, which finishes the whole Tov L'Zot L'Hashem, isn't it? Mizmor L'Toda, Tov L'Zot L'Hashem. And we do instead on Ashkenazim, for some reason we read Chavtet, but that's the whole, that's cool, Chavtet is really at the topic in itself. No. So we got Sukkuf now. What happens at Sukkuf? These are the Bochinopsis, right? You have Tila Lani. You have a couple of very interesting ones. But who are we back to, finally? We're back to David. That proves that he's more to that and to unit. Now, we have one, the David, then Tila Lani, and then the David Bochinopsis Hashem. Who's that for? That's David, isn't it? And then we have the real broken option. Right? Kuf Dalet. And then Kuf Hei Kuf Vav, we've done shown that Kuf Hei Kuf Vav are the Prakim of Sukkot Vimah, aren't they? That they require a whole, I think we've done that shir before. Kuf Hei is a Brit Ben of Tari, Kuf Hei is the first Haggadah. I'm pretty sure we did that. I'm not sure we did that shir. Get that for now. Kuf Hei Kuf Vav, and Kuf Vav ends another book. Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav are the big history ones. They took their own shir. And that takes us to another pasuk from before by Baruch Dalet. See the last line of Kufav? Okay. Now, the last book, we finished four books, didn't we? Yeah. The last book starts with the famous Tzarek, which we call Birchot HaGomel. And most of the last book, what's common in the last book, it's almost exclusively Mizmor Tehillah. What's the classic one? It's Mizmor Tehillah in this last unit. Tehillah LeDavid. The last six, or exclusively, all. Yeah. Even Yimoch Hashem Do'olam, I have to say, Lodovido Hallelujah, that's the end of Kuf Mem Vav, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? Yimoch Hashem Do'olam, I have to say, Lodovido Hallelujah. We say an excuse also. Is that a statement or a request? Is that a prayer? Is that a prayer or not? Follow from Kuf, pay attention to what happens in Zimra. From Kuf Mem, hey, that's Tila Ledavid, we'll leave that call after. From Kuf Mem Hey to the end, is all Tila. How do we know? It says so. Tila Ledavid. Every pasuk there is the praise of God. Exclusively. Understand? Now, look at the last line of Kuf Mem Vav. I want you to understand what you say in davening. Is that a statement or a request?
It's an adjustment.
What?
It's adjusted. Let it happen.
But you're saying it's a statement. You're saying it's a request.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though in this context, it's praise. So what? God, we hope it's true, but it is true. And that's why the last line of Amari Varovin, with Ashkenazim, with the Sephardim, will tolerate. You know that big machloket? And when he does a Marvin night, El Chazakayam, El Chazakayam, stop. Talidim Acholeinu L'Olam Vod, or Chazakayim Tamid, Im Acholeinu L'Olam Vod. You guys follow? The Machloket, where to put the comma, big Machloket, where to put the comma, and a bigger Machloket, if it should be in davening. A Dor Mishrach won't have it because it's about the Shav. It's understood as about the Shav. If it's about the Shav, then we can't be there. For the same reason, in Shachri, they don't put in, oh, but that's what Tiyam Tayyar. That's not the topic. There's a, boy, what a big fight that going in head over that one. So the history of the if you want things to cut out of the sitter, there's a lot of if you think that everything they thought about what to take out of the sitter, well, you could get away with smart. You can take some time. Now, yeah. And then we get to the end of the book. Remember? But now we have another unit. When I skipped three, I'm sorry, we didn't do the whole unit. You had Hallow in here? Was there Hallow?
Yeah.
In the Kufiyot, you have Hallow. But it's mostly Tilos, and the big one is going to be Kufiyot. Kufiyot is the massive one. You know that one? The Aleph Bet Eitan. Unfortunately, we always think when people are well. It's a beautiful minhag. They use the first name. And the post, that paragraph, that's like as far as Hebrew and poetry. It's amazing. But that's the last book. Now, are there headers in this book or not? What units in this last book? Now, Kufiyot for sure, it's a boulder. That ends the unit. It ends. I think it ends Hallow, doesn't it? Yeah. It ends. Yeah. Does it end Hallow? Yeah. Anyone knew that? So when Hallow's over, it's a good thing we stopped where we stopped. Imagine if we added another track to Hallow. How long would we be on? Yeah. But those lead up to it's our Hallow, what we call Hallow. Rosh Chodesh Hallow and Yom Tov Hallow. Now, remember Chatzi Hallow and Rosh Chodesh? How come it's called Chatzi Hallow? Because it's half as long?
Yes.
You know what's called Chatzi Hallow? Because there's two Pakim to only bring half of them. You knew something. Okay, good. It's called Chatzi Hallow, not because it's half the length. It's because there's two Pakim to only bring half of it. How that minute began is really also interesting, but not for now. And then after Kukyutet, we have Shem Olam, which is one word. And that's, there should be 15 of them, unless they had some stuff. Now, that's all Hosea, isn't it? That's all Tehillah. You thought the last book is mostly Tehillah. Kriya B'Shem Hashem to the Tepu Vagun Kvodo. Now, who's heard of Hallel HaGadol? What are they referring to in Hallel HaGadol?
Tehillah HaGadol.
Yeah. Now, where's that? It ends the unit. Look what unit. It ends the Shem Aleph unit. When the Shem Aleph is over, there's two prakim which form Hallel HaGadol. What are they? And they begin just like our Hallel. See how Kufa B'Heh begins? Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Shem Hashem, Hallelujah, Tadbe Hashem. Isn't that how we begin our Hallel? On Yom Tov. Okay? And we have this whole thing. And then the beautiful ending of Kilo and Chazdo of Kufa B'Heh. He even makes it to the Haggadah, doesn't it? It's so important. But since it's HaGadol, it ends the Shem Aleph unit. Now, how do we know it ends the unit? Because someone added something. Who added Kuf Lamed Zayin? And Shad Kuf Lamed Zayin is not from the time of David. If you understand the time of David, you ruin the Tarek. Remember, and by definition, Tehillim is man-made. It's written by men. It's meaningless if God told Rabbi what to write. You follow? It's like someone, trying to impress, you want to impress a girl when you write poetry. So, you say, instead of you writing it yourself, someone wrote it for you. That's not impressive. I said, her father had you write it before. That wouldn't impress anybody. No. So that was that. That's Kuf Lamed, that's Kuf Lamed Zayin. You understand what happened? They missed, when they were in exile, they missed thinking the Kumsitz is someone, they had Kumsitz in Babel. And then we get back to Israel, and by Shani, they miss the Kumsitz with the Babel. It's beautiful. Our Babel, again, a topic for itself. And then we have a whole bunch of Mizmori at the end, which are Mizmori. Then we have another group of Mizmori David. But these are Mizmori David of, mostly of, they're partially, you have a couple of Tfilot here, but also a lot of Tfilah, which takes us into Tfilah the David, and we're done. And one last thing to cue, because I'm taking too much time on this, but you haven't done. Just something for sure, which I want, someone's got to do something right here. Look at Kufram Dalad. Look at Kufram Dalad, Pasuk Yod. Kufram Dalad, at least in Tashrei, or in Tfilah the David. But look at Kufram Dalad, Pasuk Yod, and how come the Pasuk looks familiar? That's not for Shalom Dina. Look at Pasuk Yehat. Hano Tein Shalom Lachim. Remember?
Oh,
Shalom Dina. No, that's not Tfilah Shalom Dina. That's Avinu Shabbat Shalom, so he's still the Golo. That's when you're praying for the Tsar, or for the President, or the Vice President. You follow? When we are modern shuls, we're just, modern Orthodox. Okay? And we think there's value of, being connected. And we have to have a karta tov for our government. And we really think our government, we think there's value in praying for the welfare of the president, the vice president, and our government officials. And we believe in that. But that's only because we have to. We do it because we want to. So, what new stuff do we take? We took the new stuff written probably in Russia, right? Or Austria, what is it? Hungary, Austria, I forget exactly what it was. But when they were obligated to make a prayer for the Medina, they had to. They were forced to. For sure, read it. What do we say? Look at the whole line. Thanks for Allah Lachim. Haputet David Abdul Michael Ra. Look at the next line. Betani Batilani, Miyad Beneni Chara, Shapim Diber Shabi, Minami Min Shaker. You follow? You get what they're up to. Of course. So it's so bright. Now, to use that same new stuff nowadays when we take it seriously, I don't understand. I'm in a. It's just, in my opinion, it's Amaratus, but that's the only thing. But I wish someone would like a nice new stuff. But if we really believe in it, take a bit of new stuff. We don't use that for, the Shibot. And there's room to be creative. There's no, it's not like Be'ashat Tabu Chachamim. It's that was said to Ashish Abu Chachamim. And then we get to Tfilah David, which really means the last pasuk of Tehillim takes it back to the beginning of Chumash. Why? Because the only time you have the word Neshama in all Tehillim is the last line. The last line of Tehillim, Kol Neshama Talaya Hallelujah, the entire Neshama has to praise God. Now Neshama is what distinguishes man from animal, pretty sure. We have, everyone's got Nefesh, we have Neshama. Some people. You should have. Every human has neshama. But the neshama has to praise God. But also, because how does Chumash begin? With God creating man, different than the animal kingdom, with a neshama. Now, what does man have that enables him to praise God? It's neshama. There's certain things, in Sefer Bereshit in the beginning, there's all these stories that highlight how man is different than animal. Remember, he's the Tzelem Elohim. He needs clothing. Right? He's afraid, he's embarrassed of his nakedness. He has to make ethical decisions. So he can be said, he can do evil, he can kill, you follow? There's nothing humans do that animals don't do. Nothing humans do that animals do. The question is, does man realize he's different than an animal, and what's he do with that difference? But that difference is in Shema. And remember, Shema, and what enables us to connect to God is on the Shema. And part of that connection to God is Sefer Tehillim, which is, the way a person, human being, expresses his feelings through song. That's new Judaism. That's anthropology. That's human beings. And because we're religious, we use that ability, that need to sing, to express ourselves through song, and our connection to God. So the fact that the word Shema's last line is awesome. But okay, now we did a little number to Rishayel. But that's what I think. But all I wanted to show you, hey, we have a little extra thing that's special for the hurricanes. But if you want to remember the Sefer Brachot, that's right. You have to thank God for good and for bad. Which is something very deep about Judaism. It's a win-win for God, no matter what he does. But no, you can be sarcastic about it, but it's the mutzah behind it, super thing. There's things we should be doing all the time. Right? We should always pray. If we don't pray when we should, and if we don't do achas tachrim when we should, if we don't do as much as we should, Then God creates situations where we have no choice but to do it. You know? He'll put us into situations where we'll come out, but we have to learn the hard way instead of the easy way. You see that in Chazal a lot. Now back to, for example, we're supposed to, I'll give one last time this one. We're supposed to, I mean, this is really mean, but God wants to be back in Israel. So we can, there's easy ways to go. But if we don't get hints and we don't go on our own, we'll end up being there. We'll get there by hook and crook, but who knows how much extra traffic we get there. Now, back to Yishayel. Understand the difference, even? Now we did the exact same thing with the book of Yishayel. What's the one name? Okay. But you understand what I mean by studying a book? It's a skill. It's not hard. It's never taught. It just gets to sit back and relax and learn not to do it. You have to learn not to be bothered by pebbles and for sure not by boulders, but to notice them and then move on. Grant them when you do you and you never get to this. You're so in the thing, you never see the forest. No.
So you try to analyze the form and the general.
In my opinion, first you understand the form, and then you go back and see the details, especially when you're older. When you're younger, you can't do this. Before high school, you can't catch this. Under high school age, you can't begin to do this with kids. You can understand it perfect. I think before 9th or 10th grade, you're wasting your time. They might mimetically be able to repeat it and do the thing, but they won't cop it. The mind's not there. It's part of, you know, and that's an argument among educators. So, let's look in Yishayel. I'll help you with the first parak. Because the first parak is, what makes the first parak a header? Look at the opening line. The opening line is the type of the header, but don't you show that the most? But what does it have in the opening line? What's special about the first three, four lines?
They
have a time frame of the book. Which we have not, every nothing has, but many of them have that. So that's introductory. Now, the big question is, the content of verse 7, for example, if we did. When we were Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, what was special about the first 7? What do you call those prophecies?
They're called
the Nevuat HaKdashah. Usually the opening prayer talks about God's first appearance to the Nabi. Boy, Yechezkel, whoa, that was something else, wasn't it? That was electrifying. Remember, wasn't it? There was God opening the voice to Yechezkel, that caught him off his feet. If you understand, remember the parak. God's opening the voice to Yirmiyahu. Okay? And it would only make sense that the first parak of a book is in the Nevuat HaKdashah. The first of all he gets. We don't find that with Yishayel here. Now, there is a chapter in Yishayel which is identified as his Nevuat HaKdashah, which we'll see very soon. But it's not the first one. But not recognizing that, the fact that Yishayel is different than the other two is worth noting. And then you have to understand what the topic of the first parak. Now, the last 15 minutes we're going to dedicate to that topic. Why the first parak is out of chronological order, but thematically it's got to be right up front. Because it's the parak of Yishayel. And that's why when do we read the first parak? In our Jewish calendar. Shabbat Chazon. Right before Tisha B'Av, and there's a reason we picked this. Yeah. No. He said, "Stay Nachamu." Better than Shabbat Nachamu. No. Look at Perek Bet, though. Look at Perek Bet and tell me, just logically, why does that look like a header? What makes Perek Bet a header? I'm asking a simple question. What? Because it's a header. How does it begin? Hadavar Asher Chazal Yishayahu Ben Yishayahu. Now, did we just say that in the first parak? There's something different here. The first parak is a little bit different, but very similar. Chazal Yishayahu Ben Amos. Now, but the first parak is the narrator talking. The redactor. Know what the redactor is? Someone who put the book together? It doesn't make sense Yishayahu wrote the first couple of psukim. A later redactor did that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's his logic. You follow? You know, it's clear that the intro to the book, a later Navi or later editor puts in. There's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't have to come to a Navi and tell them that these Pashim were written by Yishayahu. But when you publish a book, you have to have an introduction and give the time frame. Yeah.
See, the question was, you just had that virus. this is a
Kadon,
then it could be
the side of the
deck. We don't know.
Even the first line of Perez Bet, but the main thing is the concept. But there's no doubt Perez Bet begins the unit. Agreed? Now, I want you on your own now that we've tracked this one. Where does this unit go to? Just scan using logic, without reading a thing, just scanning. Where does this unit go to? So go until you see something that obviously is not going. No, fake it. Just something. Right. Everybody agree? What? No. Why? What makes Ted Bundy something new? It's a new header. Why make a header? We have a date. Remember? We have a different header. Again, I'm not dealing with content at all now, just structure. There's a new header. Now, parakeet, there's reason to put parakeet something separate. Why? Because it starts something, but it's not the same type of header as paraclub. And when you read the unit from bet through hay, hay is not something new, it's the conclusion. No, hay is separated, but hay. Everything builds up to parakeet. That's the famous Shirat HaKerem that anyone who learned Yishayel in school must have studied. You can't have a course in Yishayel and not know parakeet in Yishayel. It's the famous Mashal HaKerem, one of the most powerful Pekim in Yishayel in the Zohar Bichlal. And all these Pekim, the first unit, is all based on Parsha Vayera. We'll see soon. Parsha Vayera, what was the Shirat HaShabbat? No. But Perek Vav is a new unit, isn't it? Now, it's also a Haftarah, isn't it? It's for Yisro, right? Why? Take a look at it. There's a Galut there, and it's important because in the middle of this, in the middle of what he got, this is the Nebuah he got during what he got, during Shmoneh Esrei. How do we know? Because in the middle, what happened? He was singing along Shmoneh Esrei, and what happened? Oh, yeah, okay. And it's like, God is in the middle. Someone's catching my joke. Remember, by the way, you know Ram Vinny Stan Davini? Shokai Nad, Malam, no, I'm here. Melech Aram. No, when we do Ram Vinny Stan, Shokai Nad, Malam, because that's Shemal. Yeah. Isn't Ram Vinny Stan there in Ripple Folks? It's the end of the day. Melech Yosheb. I know, I'm kidding. I want you guys to say the Pasuk. Melech Yosheb al Kisei. So what's Ram Vinny Stan? The Kisei or the Melech?
It depends
where you put the
sound.
Is it Melech Yosheb al Kisei? Melech Yosheb al Kisei? Ram Vinny Stan. Listen to your chazan next time, see what he does. Yeah. You know the joke. God has two names. Yeah. God has two names when we take and return the Sefer Torah. His name is either Levado or Yachta. Right? We can make up our minds. First we say his name is Levado, right? Gadul Hashem Iti. No, first we say his name is Yachta. Gadul Hashem Iti. Unurama stop. Let's praise God and exalt him. And by the way, his name is Yechzav. Okay. What should it be? Gadol Hashem Iti, Unurama Shmo, Yechzav. And we turn to say for someone, what do we say? Yalu Hashem Hashem, He's God. Stop. Shmo Levado. It makes no sense, unless his name is Levado. His name is Levado, not... But it's Yalu Hashem Hashem, Ki Nizgav Shemo Levado. Understand? It makes sense, that's all. No, but there you go either way. There's a good argument of what Ram Vinny Stah is going on. But if you know Yishayel, Ram Vinny Stah is like, you know where it's coming from? I'll show you what it came here. Ram Vinny Stah is, you take it right now, I'll do a break on Ram Vinny Stah. Look at Perek Gimel. I'm Perek Bet, I'm sorry. Perek Bet plus a Kid Bet. This is the word Ram Vinny Stah and Yishayel. Brahman is the Nabi's fight against haughtiness, against Gaava. God has a fight against Gaava. Whoa. And again, if you don't know the time period, if you don't know the time stamp, you can't appreciate this. But the time period of Uziel is the wealthiest since the time of Shlomo. It's after the fall, after Pizugam and Lacha. The best it ever gets is under Uziel. And it's almost as good as it was before. And that's what Yishael is going to deal with. But take a look at the Pasuk Yudet. Yom HaShem Tzvot HaKol Ge'ah V'lam HaKol Nistah V'Shafel HaKol Ge'ah V'na HaRamim V'Hai Nistahim HaKol Ge'ah V'Na HaShem HaRim HaRamim HaKol Ge'ah V'Hai Nistahot HaKol Bigdam Gavah HaKol Chumab Tzura. Okay? You go on? You follow? And therefore the Brahman Nistah is I'm sorry, beforehand we should have done Pasuk Yudet Enei Gavut Adam Shafel V'Shah Rum HaNashim V'Nei Gav HaShem Levado V'Yom HaHo. That's the idea? Man's too haughty. And what happens? Right? God has to put him down where he belongs. Now, man is haughty because he got prosperity from God. But instead of taking out the prosperity and channeling it the right way, that prosperity leads to haughtiness. And God says that to take away your prosperity. Okay? Anyway, that would be one of Yishai's big messages, like a key one. Which is that whole, you'll see, the whole first unit which we identified technically, from Perez Bet to Hay, it's fighting Raman Issa. Now, who's really Raman Issa, and what does man do with this prosperity? And that's one of the key topics of Chumash. It's Parshanus on Chumash, but the victim is Sefer Dvarim, and the sense of it's supposed to come together. That what do we do when God tells us to be prosperous? Now, we're supposed to be prosperous, we're supposed to be a nation with produce, okay? But what do we do with our prosperity? And once you're supposed to be prosperous, there's a big danger of that prosperity going to your head. So how, on the one hand, are you somebody who thinks he's a nobody? That's one of the biggest challenges of God's people. And Yishael deals with that frontally. And that's what makes the Nevuah so meaningful for all generations. Okay. Now, Perek Vav is a standalone. Why? Because look how Perek Zayin begins. Do you understand why Perek Zayin is a new header? I'm reading anything more than that. I don't care what's written afterwards. I mean, sure, but it doesn't make a difference. Vayim Me'achaz starts a new unit. So what do we find? Aleph is a standalone. Because Bet starts something new. Bet goes all the way to Hay in content. And technically speaking, for sure technically would be also in content. That's a whole big unit, which is also partially from Chumash. Vav is a standalone. And Vav is usually identified as the Zivot HaKdasha Bishayel. As the HaKdasha. Because that's when he's appointed. Why do they say that? Because God's looking for a volunteer who's going to give the message of destruction or a punishment to the people, and he shall volunteer. Remember that famous one? Now, there's a medrash there about never motion the coals. It's built on this terror. Yeah, where God takes Milcha Chaim from the Mizbeach and puts them and sets them on his lips. There's so many midrashim that where Chazal takes something from, like Gidon, you know, breaking his father's idols, and again, where they take later events and put it in earlier people in Chumash. It's a beautiful midrash, and it's very deep.
You're supposed to hear it?
But if you know your story, then you begin to appreciate the drash. They're not historical midrashim. They're coming to connect. They're deep. And so midrashim are coming to tell you to connect between what's happening in Chumash, what happens later in the day. Now, Perek Zayin, you want to go second, see if you can find where that ends. Now, a little bit harder, but again, don't fetch. Just find something that's crystal clear in new unit. The third ground. You know you have the right answer when you realize you can't be wrong. Yeah, why are you Gimel? I've got nothing to do. Isn't that obvious? No. Okay. Now I want you to use your teasing tools, okay? And find me the next unit. I'll give you some what I mean by teasing tools, but we just did. We just practiced this. Okay. So what's the next unit? Just look at the beginning of every chapter now. This is a heavy assignment. What? But what's the pattern now? Right? How does every unit begin? How does every parent begin now? Matzah, right? And we have all set of Matzahot, and everyone's a different nation. Matzah Bavel, if you're in high school, right, identify that this is high school assignment already. Okay, which is the nations, and why these nations, want to get who's going to be missing here. So you're not going to find the shore here. No. This is Matzah Bavel. Who else is there next? There's Matzah, there's Matzah, there's Matzah Moab. The Matzah Damesek, can you try and follow? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That look at, this goes on to where? This goes on to where? What? Include the Kabbalah or not include the Kabbalah? The Kabbalah and Matzah? No, for sure not. But Chav Gimel to Matzah, how do you know Chav Gimel to Matzah? Have a Chabek? Matzah? Okay, what country is this one? Eishin Ayon. Now, this is awesome, why? Because when you know Perek Chabet, it's about Yerushalayim. You can't miss it. You ever been in the old, you've all been to the old city. Remember the broad wall?
Yes.
Remember? And there's a little plastic there on the wall next to the broad wall with these two batim digno tachoma. And you see an archaeological example where they mowed through someone's house to put up a wall with any? It's from Perek Chabet. But it's you're still yelling at the people. You know what I'm talking about? So, okay, if you've been to the old city, fine. It's not Shulam Tzion. But they found archaeological evidence of this Nebuah, of building a wall in the time of Hezekiah, and taking apart someone's house to build a wall, which was necessary for military reasons. And Mishael has a whole, anyway, that's individual talk. What's so neat, you have a whole set of Masa'ot, and people love to hear Masa'ot, because what were Masa'ot about? Right? Iran's going to blow up, and Iraq's going to blow up, and Syria's fighting. We love hearing rabbis, or Masot, talking about the fall of our enemies. People love hearing Masot, don't they? And these are Masot against all our enemies. And who's going to come and defeat them? Sure. but guess what? They're not the only ones. Because it's going to happen to you too. So don't smile so much. Don't be so. Understand what he's getting at? And now, there's a unit here, isn't there? From Yud Gimel to where? So Chav Gimel. There's a set of Matzot. Are they? Matzot, yeah. And we go back to the Goyim again. It's inserted. Again, why it's here? It's an internal topic. But you have somebody mean by a unit of a book? No. That's Yishael the prophet. No, those are prophets. The first one is prophecy about Am Yisrael. Different, that would be, what we'll see. Remember the units we found? Aleph is the intro. Bet Tehei, I will prove to you, is Tempere Uziel. That'll be next week, we'll get some more in detail. That's Uziel. Vav is a standalone, but appears to be, it's like Tasha, but what's it doing here? It's complicated. Zayin, through Yudet, is a unit that begins with Ahad, and with it goes into Hezekiah, because it thinks it's right to Abdullah. Where did Perek Yudet begin in the thing? Look how Perek Yudet ends. Remember the first one he was saying Kaddish? I mean, is the middle one after? This one, you got it right during Havdalah. You understand why? Look at the end of your bet. Look at the end of your bet. Isn't it there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Look at that all Havdalah, but the psukim are there. Now, look how Perek Aleph begins, so it goes into it. Don't tell me you ever heard of this one. What's Perek Aleph about? Mm-hmm. Isn't Perek Aleph famous? Mm-hmm. What's that? That's the Nebuah, that's Melech HaMashiach, or the first bit of the day. Chabad's whole philosophy, a philosophy, the whole concept of Tzivot Hashem, so with mitzvah tanks, it's all right here. You know, we take imagery, we take battle imagery, and use the battle imagery to of not fighting with mitzvot or fighting with no. You understand our unit so far? So we had two yudbet pretty much together. We had the matzot from Yud Gimel, the Chav Gimel. That's in that title. That's Yishael, the poet. I mean, I'm sorry, the prophet. I just gave something away. Look at Chabdalit. You won't understand a word. But look at the style. Yeah. Look at Chabdalit. Look at the style. Don't understand a word. Just look at the style. Okay, I'm pointing at the poetry. Okay, don't let that send a word. Look at the poetry. Oh, okay. It's not prophetic, it's poetic. It's also prophetic, but look at the poetry. Is he book to book in that one? Is he book to book?
Yeah.
And what, yeah, look at that Zion. Except art, Zimirot Shamanu, Sina Sadiq, Omer Razili, Razili Oili, Bogdim Bagadu, Vega. It's beautiful. And this one makes them famous. But you see, it's just a totally changing style here, and it goes on. Right? No, you can scan and scan and scan, and you won't find any. But you'll find similar style. Everything is very poetic, but nothing really changes until nothing major changes until Lamed Hei. Until the end of Lamed Hei. Okay, we'll save some time now because our time to Lamed Hei. What? Yeah, there's a lot of Hoy. There's some sections there, for sure. But in the Hoy, it's very poetic, isn't it? If I'm looking for something which you didn't find as much in the earlier sections, everything in this unit is very poetic. With tons of wordplay. Difficult words, but that's why I call you Shadow the Poet. No. In total contrast to that, look what happens to Drive on the Bug. Lama Bug is still at home again. And look at Lama Bug, what do you say? Hey, I can deal with that. Because what's on the bus? That's not Yeshayahu anymore. That's an appendix. It's an historical appendix coming to explain how the Nevuah came true. Because what story? We don't have all the different, we're quoting here from Sefer Melachim. Not verbatim, but very close to verbatim. It's more similar than different. But we're quoting history. But what event is the main focus there? It's Sancheriv. After wiping out almost all of Yehuda, Yerushalayim being saved at the last minute from Sancheriv. The whole thing was Rav Shakeh, the fall of Lachish, and Yerushalayim almost being destroyed, and God saving the city at the last minute. As he said he would, in very good hours. Okay? Now, about a half year ago, a couple months ago, I gave you a share on Dimat Mos and Yishael, but Deutro Isaiah, explaining how you have to understand from that, what they call Deutro Isaiah, dating it. Again, that when I gave you that share, I mentioned this, you didn't probably understand what I was giving it. The fact that I have an historical appendix at the end of several units of Yishayahu, but it's clearly an appendix. You follow? In my opinion, that still limits the book and tells you, outcome. My point clear? So the fact that I have an historical appendix in the middle of the book makes more sense to me that this is an historical appendix at the end of the book where it belongs, right? And now I have a prophetic appendix. Understand my point? Once you understand that, you solve the whole Deutro Isaiah problem. Because when Chazal talks about the book of Isaiah, Yishayahu, it's Adkan. It's Yishayahu. Now, and the appendix to the original Yishayahu is what they call Deutro Isaiah. Now, from Perek Mem, Nachamu Nachamimi, it's one long, there's so many things that are tied together there. But starting from Nachamu Nachamimi, it's definitely a new unit. So clearly Perek Mem is different than Lama Tet, agree? That's easy, Simon. And if I can read, if I go simple reading from Nachamu Nachamu from Perek Mem all the way to Samach Vav, there's nothing major that changes. There's no major header. There's no boulder that's going to go and take to start the new unit. Now, when I look in detail, I can divide it up here, I can divide it there, but it's more similar than different. Because what's the common theme? It's all about what you people call Nechama, which in my opinion, I'll review it. Calling it Nechama is a disaster. This is the whole point. Because it's not a call of comfort, it's a call to action. It's not saying years from now, it's not saying 20 years from now things will get better. It's saying things were bad, but now you have an opportunity to return. And listen to that. It's a call to the people to return. And it's a call to the people that yes, we can fulfill what Yishayahu was talking about back in Perek Kedalos. Yishayahu's hope of redemption, which wasn't fulfilled when it could have been fulfilled, and finally Rishon fell in the end, and people did listen to Yishayahu, God giving Amisto another chance and take a ride on that. God's giving you an opportunity to come back now and fulfill the nevuot of the original Yeshayahu. And it's a call of prophecy in the beginning of Ayat Sheni, recognizing that the right of course to power is God telling you, wake up. Like every generation, God sends his own messages. So let's get started today. Yeah. That's for the 5,000.
Yeah. The verb also includes the idea of regret or trying to undo something as Vayinochem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the wordplay, you know, there's tons of biblical themes in the wordplay. But when we did, I'll go over the key things. Sumi Bavel, Dechumi Ad Kazim, and what do you call it? God. There's a call coming. God's clearing the way. Come back home. I didn't leave you. I didn't abandon you. I'm calling you. Come. Right? I'm giving you messages. You can't just read it. You can't miss it. If I read a pasuk at a time and don't pay attention, of course I won't get the message. But read it together. You can't miss the message of it. But what I'm saying is, that's what I talked about then. It just drives me nuts why everyone is so worried because it says Yishayahu Ketav et Sifro. And because we put an appendix to our Sefer Yishayahu, a meaningful and important appendix, to say that we have to believe now that Yishayahu wrote it 200 years before it happened and making the whole thing meaningless. And oh wow, he was what a great prophet. He knew the course. You know, he could see the future. It's a total misunderstanding of prophecy. It's saying the prophets are there to predict history instead of to shape it. Instead of shaping it, prophets shape history. They don't predict it. They shape it. They tell you patterns, what can be. They tell you potential. But from that caliber, it's not a promise. It's a challenge. It's not what will be. It's what can be. It's down the line, it looks that way. Now, what I want to conclude with. Now, again, that's do you understand the units of Yishayahu? Now, those are the classic five books of Isaiah. If you look at anything academic, the first 12 chapters is. The first Isaiah, that the Masaot of the other nations, that's another Isaiah. The poetic Isaiah, got that? It's a different style, okay? The historical Isaiah, from Stephen Lachim, and the Deuter Isaiah, what they call. Now, calling Isaiah a prophet sometimes is ridiculous, in my opinion. You follow? The person, one Navi, can talk to his people now, also talk about other nations, especially when they understand Gekhe Zayon. He's using other nations to get his last. I'm complaining about the people in Yerushalayim. That doesn't affect two authors. It talks about that reflects a powerful Navi who knows how to address two different audiences and use different ways. The fact that he takes a break for poetry as opposed to prose, what's wrong with that? That doesn't mean different. I mean, he's great. More different talent, not different people. And having historical appendix, of course, it doesn't have to be Yishayahu. That's not a science in different authors. That's an appendix. And then the last unit, but, in my opinion, it makes much more sense. It's the later in the Navi, probably the meeting of the base matters of Yishayahu. But it's an app of the theme of Yishayahu happening in real time. And it's only meaningful to put that with the book of Yishayahu because it's a great appendix because it's because of the original Yishayahu we got to that message. It just makes so much sense. I understand why people get so hung up that, you know, if you say this, it's considered zero. It just doesn't make sense to me, but that's, you know.
And if one of the students, then why not
get his you can ask the question, why is an appendix opposed to its own book? Maybe it was its own book, but we put it as an appendix. So once you find that, so you can say maybe why, but but to read it without recognizing its time-sentence takes away the whole punch of the nevuah. Yeah, we're not saying it's not another thing. We're not saying it's not from God. We're not saying it's God's prophet giving the message from God to his people. We're just arguing over what time period it is. But when you put it in its real time period, it's meaningful, you can learn from it, it makes sense, it's true. It carries a powerful message. If you put it 200 years earlier, the only conclusion is, oh well, Isaiah was a tremendous forecast over that. And then by doing that, you've totally pulled the air out of Yirmiyahu Yechezkel. Why are these people if it's not going to help? Why would Yirmiyahu be lying to the people, saying, oh, you can't. You know, temple doesn't have to be destroyed, and just doesn't have to happen. It just ruins everything. Now, I have one other source here I want to give out.
Look in the first paragraph, the first unit. Look how it is. I'll get extra sources from Shabbat.
Can I pass these around?
This issue we've done before, but just a quick little review. Pass this down.
In this page,
I'm looking at Yishael first.
Yishael Perek Aleph, he has his whole opening line. But look in Pasuk Yud. In Pasuk Yud, he's not a happy prophet. Yeah? Pasuk Yud. And Perek Aleph, the beginning. Yeah. What I want to say is, the first verse in Yishael, I would call maybe a medley of key things, but it's got to be Chizkiyahu, but it's got to be, but it's his key message, you'll see what. Look at Pasuk Yud, I'm sorry. He's angry with the people about this. He gets his anger and what's going to happen to the country. Okay, and then Pasuk says, "Luzei Hashem tzvot utzil lanu tzuris kima kizdomayinu lamodiminu." This Shemiroshkin is tzomatim lami torat alim amamora. Lamodiroshkin chesham. He compares the people to tzomar amora. There's no doubt. He said, you guys are like, just like Yechezkel does later on, he compares the people to Sodom and Amorah. No. You could say he's using Sodom and Amorah to highlight how bad the destruction is going to be. But I can view Sodom and Amorah as a symbol of terrible destruction for bad behavior. But I can also use Sodom and Amorah to understand what was their sin. No. And if you know this week's Parsha, the whole theme of Tzedek U'Mishpat and the introduction to why God never, God doesn't tell Avram, I'm going to destroy Sodom. God says, I'm going to check it out. Is that we're saving yes or no, remember? And Abraham isn't praying for some, but rather he's clarifying. I'm sure we did this before, didn't we? Didn't I share? Yeah, I'm sure. It's a classic. Is that Abraham's not praying for some. After God tells him, I'm going to check out the city, and Chumash tells us, God has to consult with Abraham Avinu. Because that's why he's chosen to be blessing. He's chosen by God. Of course, you set your bet. Because I chose him in order to teach his children to follow the way of God of doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. In order that God's vision for Avraham Avinu be fulfilled, to become a blessing, to bring blessing to mankind. And therefore, I have to show with Avraham Avinu what I'm about to do, which is what? Not destroy them, but check it out, is it worth saving or not? And Avraham clarifies, to what degree is God willing to save a corrupt society if there's a small group of people who are still okay? And the idea behind it, there's a small group of people who even can, right? Is enough reason for God to give a wider society a chance, because maybe that small group of kids can have an impact on the bigger heaven, what I call the Encephalocolo Tonocolo syndrome. Have you ever used that analogy? Everyone knows Encephalocolo?
Yes.
No. It's for kids who want to learn in the summer, but that's not who goes there. Who goes there are kids, parents who want their kids not to get in trouble in the summer. And they want, they're worried about their kids, but they want their kids to be with the good kids. Now, where do good kids go? Can't just buy summer clothes. Why the good kids? Because they want to learn in the summer. So I'm going to send my kids where the good kids are, hoping that we're going to influence. But when 90% of the kids don't want to learn, but are there because the parents want them to be with the good kids, then I have a hop off of them. So I got to play sports all day and say you're learning. But no, it's better than going to college camp, but it's better. Maybe not. No. So they might not get values, but at least they don't get into trouble. So you have now, I just thought that as an example that it's human nature that a small group of people doing good can have an effect. If they will, it depends. And that concept is what's underlined by God picks Avraham Avinu. Now, when Amnesty is acting in a way exact opposite, like Stone was, who don't allow Hakdash Sasorim, remember, have a rule against it, and don't take care of, like, and there's a cry of oppression coming from Stone because they have everything. God gets angry and says, you're like Stone before, you can't stay in the land, you can't represent me anymore, bye-bye temple. And that's Yishael's primary message, that they're not doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. Now where does he say it? It's right in Shemoneh Esrei. Again, this is what I was talking next week about things from davening. But look in Perek Aleph and Yishael, what will we in Aftara? What's it called? Talit, Chatei? What do we say? That's the Chatei. I'm sorry. Start from Chafala. Echai talazona, kiryana mena, mileki mishpat tzedek eliba. They had tzedek mishpat, and now kaspecha yalis tigim sabech mo b'mayim. Kulam oiv shochad, remember? Yotam lo yishpotu, v'evonu lo yavir alehem. Echai nu mashem, echai nachim mitzarai. Okay? Vashibi yadai alayf, etzof kibes tigay, etzof kibes tigay, etzof kibes tigay. Then, what's the chazal? Look familiar? Vashiba, shoftek vishonav yotek vatsila. What do we call this in davening? Don't you realize we quote this every day in Davening? Hashiva Shabtenet Rishonah. I hope you knew that. That's from Yisrael. And the last line, Tiyomi, you should take the Devashah, that's the Kaka. What's Yisrael's message? You're about to be wiped out by Ashur. Because why? Not because you're not bringing enough korbanot. No, the people in the time of Yisrael, again, they went through this properly, that was supposed to be today's year. But it's a different format, so we'll begin that next week. The people are in trouble from Ashur, and they think the main thing God wants is prayer and korbanot. And that's the main message we're getting. Yisrael says, that's not going to help you one iota. But prayer and sacrifice aren't going to help one bit if you don't fix your way. And the reason why God's angry with you is because of your society, not because of your ritual. And that's a very difficult point to get across to people. And it falls on deaf ears. But it's the key point of Yisrael, which is why Chazal picked it for there, and not why, but why the book of Yisrael picked it as the opening message. It's not in chronological order, but it's the punch. Yeah. And I just put it down because this week's parsha was Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in the page I gave you, that's for me, but in the page I gave you, you have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, with the highlights of the page. But on the other page are all the sources about the sin of stone relating to lack of hakasat tochim and the opposite of tzedek u'mishpat. Meaning to David, I'm sure we've done that at some point or other. We'll do that. But you understand what we did today? So we gained a little share in Tehillim. But the main thing I want to do today is how to study a book as a book. That was the main goal. And using that to get a little taste of Yisrael, we did Yisrael way too fast. If we go back and do the history, we'll get the thing. I'll leave you can run off. A summary of all the different units are over here on the page. So we'll need it for next week. And the timeline, which we'll refer to next week. So if you can, by next week we can have it.
We're going to be here next Sunday.
We're going to be here next Sunday, weather permitting. Yeah. The Tower's Kodesh.
Just one thing. Whether we can talk to you this year on one Saturday night as well as Sunday morning. How many people will be?
No, that's not intended to share. It's a, what do you call it? A question and answer. I feel bad because I'm running out. Because I always run out. Because Nick just run out. So, yeah. And I want to have time to answer questions and things. So I feel bad. So I'm saying I'm here anyhow. Yeah. I could be here anyhow on a Saturday night. I mean, so. Emma, you can check out later on. Okay, but you can.
Sunday morning, we have a share scheduled no matter what. A week from today. I'm just asking Saturday night, would people be interested? We had time or whatever. For
I'm here. I get nothing. I probably have nothing to do. Half my things are canceled. So.